You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
It's the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show brought to you live from our homes. I am Martin Bruda.
I am Chris Ellis.
And I am Adam Bishop.
All right. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Yeah, I'm very well.
Excellent, excellent. We've got the three of the five amigos on air. I think we got all five of us the first time when I forgot to hit record.
Yep.
So that was fun. That was an adventure.
Yeah, but that was a good time.
I've heard some positive feedback from the show that we did get up on air. Not this week. This week was a rerun, but the week before.
Yeah.
The week before. So everyone seemed to like it, seemed to work. So let's try it again, I guess.
Works.
Why not? I still haven't posted anything on video, though, because we did video record this.
Okay.
Through Zoom. So I don't know. Maybe we should post the other episode, like just raw, just throw it on the Facebook page or something, or create a YouTube channel and just throw it on there, and just so everyone can see how ridiculous we are.
See our COVID haircuts.
Oh my gosh, I'm wearing a hat on purpose for a reason. I literally have the worst COVID-19 haircut. It is
really?
So bad.
I saw it in person.
there's no such thing as a fade. It just it's just all one hot size.
Nice.
It's this thick all the way around.
Nice.
Yeah. There's no trimming, there's no blending. It's just everything's this thick all the way around.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of being bald, right? Like, it's all just, and it looks good anytime.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
It's hard to have a bad haircut when you have no hair.
So I don't know about you guys, but my, how should we say, retail therapy continues.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did you buy today?
I still seem to be buying things on No Buy May on eBay, you know. I just keep getting these, seller has offered a 4% discount. I'm like, that's good enough. Let's do it.
4%?
Let's do it.
That's too, you're too easy.
Yeah, no guff.
You're giving in too easy.
So if you guys bought something, you guys want to say something, talk about what you bought, or should I just like?
Just jump right into it.
All right, just take over. So one thing that did come in, which I thought was pretty amazing, is American Daredevil. From Chapter House. Now this is a novel book, not a no funny pages, pictures. Okay. And what this is Comics, Communism, and the Battles of Lev Gleason. Now, if anybody doesn't know who Lev Gleason is, he was a guy who published comics, England, I think, if I recall correctly. And one of the things that he's pretty famous for is he got like the license for Shazam. But sort of, kind of, and not. So he was doing Shazam reprints, and then I can't remember the details because it's British and I'm not all that up on British comic history. But something about, I'm sure I'm going to get corrected too if I get this wrong. He was doing Shazam reprint books, but then the Shazam reprints got pulled. He lost the license or something, or whatever the case may be. So he just basically created a whole new character called Marvel Man. Same stories, same premise. There's a Marvel Man Jr. There's a Talking Tiger. It's like, and then of course that turned into Miracle Man, which took off with Alan Pinhead Moore writing. Neil Gaiman wrote some Miracle Man stories and stuff like this. So the character kind of blew up a little bit. So this is supposed to be written by, if I'm not mistaken, his son? No, great-nephew. So it's partially written by the great-nephew, and it just goes on and on about the history of this fellow, which I thought was interesting enough, and surprised that it came from Chapter House. So that came in the mail. That's pretty cool. One thing that eagle-eyed viewers will notice is that it says Lev Gleason here on the copyright. And if you do a little teeny tiny little copyright search, you'll see that Chapter House now owns the Lev Gleason Publications trademark. So something is afoot. Something may or may not be coming down the pipe. The other thing that these guys are famous for is they had the very first Daredevil, right? The guy with the red and the blue?
Yes.
I think I got a bunch of boy comics. It's called Boy Comics before you think I'm getting into boys. With stories of them. So looking forward to reading that. Haven't touched it yet, though. But, well, I mean, okay. I touched it. I fingerprinted it all over the place, as you saw on camera. But I haven't read anything yet.
No, not yet. Yeah.
So that's interesting. The other thing is you guys were talking about somebody, probably Dan, about Doctor Who comics and his Marvel premiere, that series that came out. And then they did a special edition where they reprinted that in Baxter paper. Remember they did the same thing for Warlock and Star-Lord? Maybe? No? Crickets?
Crickets. Sorry, man.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
So basically, they reprinted the stories in, and then they continued on with a regular series. So somebody was talking about the Doctor Who regular series. And of course, since it's Tom Baker, I got all excited and jumped online and found issues 1 through 8. And I put in a lowball offer and they accepted and
it showed up.
There you go. Ends up buying Doctor Who comics. So that was pretty neat.
I sold that one at a con for like $2.
Yeah, they're not that expensive until you get to the later issues.
Yeah.
Because the later issues, all of a sudden, it's, oh, low print run. So they want like $30 an issue, and it's kind of ridiculous. But I got 1 through 8. We'll see if I can get the rest at a reasonable price. We'll see. For those of you who don't know, we have a guest today. Mr. Sam Tweedle is in the house. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
This is pretty great. I was just actually about to go grocery shopping, and then Marty was like, do this instead. And I'm like, hey, I have food and pop and cat food, so like, why do I need to go to the grocery shop? But I got some pizza cooking in the oven right now, and I got some, look at this here, I got some cherry cola in a bottle.
So there you go.
I'm okay. So I figured hanging out with you guys is probably a lot better than going to the grocery store.
Yeah, nothing.
How y'all doing? Holy shit, look, I've never been on Zoom before either, so this is like a first.
Nice. It's good to see you, Sam.
Yeah. It's so good to see you guys. So what were you guys talking about?
We were just kind of going through some things that we may or may not have purchased comic book-wise on during the COVID.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You guys can, like, would you guys, actually, I ordered a comic book during COVID, and it's the first comic I've ordered in a long time, and it hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, what did you order?
I ordered the that Zatanna book that from like the YA Zatanna series. Ordered from Amazon. I did a big order from Amazon, and it's one of the few things that haven't arrived, and it's been close to a month. So that's pretty discouraging. I may never see it.
Yep. It's coming. It's just slow. Everything is so slow.
Like the records and the DVDs and the novels I've ordered have all arrived, but my Zatanna book, no sign.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why I reached out to you, Sam, is because this week on the radio show was a rerun of episode 30 where we talked about Dixon's Comics closing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's funny. You posted that, and I listened to it, and it was kind of weird because I got kind of emotional.
Well, yeah.
It really hit me hard listening to that. And also, I've had some kind of weird interactions with Steve over the last while. I ran into him quite a bit not since lockdown, but just before, because one of the places that Steve haunts is very close to the place I live. So when he's going to that place and I'm going to my places, we would cross paths quite often, and we'll always stop and share a few words. Mm. So
yeah, I haven't seen him at all. I did see Mrs. Dixon more than once on her daily walk, crossing at a crosswalk and stuff, but I haven't seen Steve.
I would love to see Mrs. Dixon.
Yeah, Steve's been in my store a few times making some purchases. I haven't said anything like, "Hey, I miss the shop," because it's always a little awkward.
Yeah.
I think so too. And we don't talk about comics or collecting. I usually just let him talk at me. If you know what I mean. Like, hi, Steve. Wow, you're looking like Steve. You know.
I haven't seen him in a long time. I saw him over by the KFC on Chemung there. He was walking down whatever the heck road that is.
Chemung?
Not Chemung, the other one. The one that goes...
KFC is on Chemung, though.
Yeah, it's on the corner of Chemung and whatever that side street is. But anyways,
see, this is why nobody misses me on the radio show. I do stuff like that. I'm so sorry.
But I
gotta put you guys down for a second because I smell my pizza burning. I'll be back in a sec.
don't burn the pizza.
I miss that guy. I miss him.
You know what?
We're knocking everything down, so I had to grab him.
I miss going to Dixon's. I really do miss going in there, and I listened to that episode when you guys did it, and I think I was talking back and forth with you guys on Messenger and stuff, but you know, I was sad when they closed that place down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was coming, and you knew that it was coming based on what was happening, right? But it was sad to see it go down in flames like that.
And to be honest with you, I didn't stick around for the end. I kind of saw, you know, things like books I was wanting weren't showing up, and things I wanted weren't being ordered, and things were a bit of a mess. And I offered a couple of times to help out here or there, and it just wasn't received well. So I think I kind of reached out to, was it still Jeff's at the time, or had they changed?
Yeah, it was Jeff's. It was still Jeff's.
So I reached out to Jeff's, and I moved the majority of my pull list there, but I still popped in, you know, every couple of weeks to see what was going on and see how things were going, and you know, just in case he had a book for me or not to pick up. But it was a shame the way it went, but what can you do?
Yeah. I'd left. Do you remember, Marty, how we would drive?
Sam's gone. He's dropped his phone and his pizza.
How do I get back?
Hey.
Oh, hi. I didn't have the pizza, no, but I'm told this is my first time using Zoom, all right?
It's all good. It's all good.
Marty, do you remember I had left so early with Dixon? Do you remember how we would drive up to the store, and I'd literally like sit in the car while you went in?
Yeah.
And I refused to go in because I did not want to – I just didn't want to deal with it. I remember one of the reasons, there was a time where I couldn't, I hated going in there so much because things were going so bad that, and I was finding so much joy at other shops that I left pretty early on, and I just couldn't face them. I felt really bad, you know, and I mean, has enough time gone by that I can say that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, you kind of feel a little bit bad and you know, sad and upset because you know you were there when the shop was in its heyday.
Exactly.
And to see it kind of decline a little bit and you know, they really really got hit hard by ebooks and stuff like this. Like their paperback business just kind of disintegrated, you know, and that didn't help things kind of, you know, go down. And when was this? Was this in and around the 2008 recession as well, or was it a little bit earlier? Oh. When did they close? 2009?
Well,
I don't remember.
6 years ago. 6 years ago.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So even it was 2016.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm sure that things didn't go well for them for a while.
With like a lot of older people reading, like those romance novels, they're passing away too. So you see that clientele move away, well, not move away, pass away from it. So you just lost all those customers. And then, yeah, with ebooks or for people who are still reading, they're probably going to go that route now.
Well, yeah, because like I used to read the Mac Bolan series of books, and it's published by a division of Harlequin Romance, and it's just basically spy novels and action adventure. Kind of, I'm sure Chris Ellis knows the type of genre I'm talking about here. And even that series that was hugely, massively popular, selling millions of copies a year, they don't even do print books anymore because the number of people buying it is dwindled. The only thing they do is Kindle sales now, because like they don't even bother printing them. The last copy that I got physically was actually the publisher specially printed 24 books to give to the author for sale at signings and stuff. So the last copy of Mac Bolan that I got, there's only 24 copies in existence.
I remember going in there looking for like actual just books. And I went up to Steve and I was like, hey, I'm looking for, this is the book I was looking for, Rebel Spy, which is a choose your own adventure book, but it's all like pictures and puzzles and whatnot. And he just looked at me like I was insane. I'm like, no. And I was like, okay, I'll grab some comics though.
I remember why I left. And I'm just going to get into it. All right. There was a feeling of depression going on in the store. Yeah. Steve had given up. He'd just given up. He didn't want to do it anymore. And Miss Dixon, bless her soul, we all love her, but I don't want to say she was slipping, but
no, she was slipping.
Well, no, there was definitely, you know, my parents are aging as well. We're all aging. We all have to face this, but there was some degradation of Mrs. Dixon's faculties. Like I remember she'd have problems with the cash register all of a sudden when that was never an issue before. Yeah. And she would like, you know, get confused because the debit machine said transaction refused and she had to put the number in again. And that kind of threw her for a loop. And stuff.
I remember you would go in and you would say something to Steve and he would go into this tirade about how everything was terrible. How the market was terrible and comics were terrible and this was terrible and that was terrible. And I remember there was this time me and Marty, we did one of our epic, man, I miss these, where we do one of our epic trips where we would go to all the comic stores between here and Scarborough and back. Not Scarborough, what's Mississauga and back. And every store we went to, it was full of people and they were all happy and they were all excited about comics. And there was kids, man. There was kids buying comics, and every place you went, there was somebody to talk to, and people were excited about the hobby. And going into Dixon's all the time made me think the hobby was dying. But when I was going to all these other shops, I realized that the hobby was very much alive, and that people were excited and people were still into this. But my local comic store was just this dank seed of depression, and I didn't want to be a part of that anymore. So that's when I started my account at CBA. And man, I got a lot of happiness out of going to Comic Book Addiction. And Marty can tell me, knows that for a fact. And I haven't bought, I haven't been in a CBA for well over a year. And I haven't bought a comic since October 2018. But I still text Victoria all the time. We're always talking back and forth about dumb shit. You know, so
well, that was one of the drawbacks, if you want to call it that, at Dixon's, is it was never really a comic book store. No.
Exactly. Exactly.
Comic books became an important part of his revenue stream, but it was never really.
He had no passion for it.
No.
Yeah. It's tough if you're like one of the best.
Mr. Dixon liked one comic. There was one comic he was addicted to that he could discuss. And I know because I actually have all his copies of it. Because they gave them to me when he died. You guys all look shocked.
Oh no, we're waiting in suspense for you to tell us what title it is.
Little Abner. Al Cav's Little Abner. He's a massive fan of it, and he had all these Little Abner books. And I have his Little Abner series because I was one of the only customers that had a working knowledge of the strip, as most people remember. I'm actually a big fan of newspaper comic strips, especially from the Golden Age, from the 40s, 50s, 60s. And I did a university paper on the history of it back at Trent. So I actually had a working knowledge of Little Abner, and I was the only customer that went in there that could intelligently talk about that strip with them. And yeah, so when he died, they gave me his Little Abner books.
Really?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. 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 Do you remember there used to be this rumor about all the cool stuff that he had in the basement?
Well, there was all sorts of rumors, like an entire run of Fantastic Four and piles of stuff. And I didn't never get to see the basement. That was like my one biggest regret. But apparently you did.
I didn't see the basement, but my very good friend Vern Pickford saw the basement. And I love this story. We never said this story on the radio show before because the time wasn't right. Can we say it now? Can I tell it now?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So Vern Pickford he's not a comic guy, but he's a big monster guy. And he used to order monster merchandise from Previews, right? And he'd get it at Dixon's and, you know, and he'd go in there. So one time, Steve, this was at the end. Remember how Steve would be in the basement and you'd come in and you'd go to pick up your comics and she'd go, do you want to talk to Steve? And the sticks are out. Do you want to talk to Steve? I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to Steve. I'm good. And she'd go, Steve! Steve, Sam's here. Do you want to talk to Sam? Steve, I'm like, no, Miss Dixon, it's fine. Just tell me my comics and let me go. Steve, and then Steve would like come, you know, staggering up the stairs, and he would talk about how everything was awful, and you're just like, Christ. All right, I guess. Well, anyways, one time. You'd think, well, what's he doing down in that basement? Well, so it was during that era. So Vern Pickford went in there, and Steve and Vern heard that there was supposed to be – we all thought that, like, the Golden Grail, like Marvel Comics number one and Detective 28 or 26 or whatever, 27?
Yeah, 27.
Whatever, 27 was down there. Like, we all thought that. And you heard all these rumors. Well, anyways, Steve says something to Vern about the basement. He's like, hey, do you want to go to the basement? And Vern's like, holy crap. Yeah, I want to go to the basement. I'm like, what do you got down there? So they went down into the basement. Like Vern follows Steve down to the basement. And all it was like a single light bulb on a rope, right? Like on a cord, a wooden table, a chair, and bottles of Jack Daniels. And that's all that was down there. There was nothing. It was just an empty basement and bottles of Jack Daniels. And that, unfortunately, was what was in the basement.
I assumed it was going to be a bathroom and a mini fridge.
Yeah, no. It's sad. That's what was in the basement.
Yeah, so. That's, I'd heard a rumor that that's what was in the basement as well.
Well, that's
I don't know. I felt kind of bad. I mean, I was there right up to the end. I hung around probably way past the time when I should have, because my books were, when they stopped coming in, I probably should have moved on, but I didn't. I stayed going, and I was like, oh, what came in this week? And oh, nothing's in, or oh, all the boxes are on the floor, just pick through them and find
the
books.
I heard about that. I was long gone. Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like more than once I sat there and I got there and the books are on the floor and I'm like, Steve, do you want me to like sort this for you and get stuff on the shelf and stuff? And, oh no, it's
no,
fine.
Just the guys will pick through it, no big deal. And
yeah, the guys will pick through it. And that broken comic book shelf that's all was like bowed out. I'm like, I just need some wood glue and a couple of screws. I can bring some screws. We can fix this. He goes, no, it's fine. And the next time I came in, it was fixed with like comic book backing boards. Yeah. Just kind of taped
your,
in there.
Your like, OCD used to just ping off that thing, man. That thing used to drive you go nuts. I never ever noticed it, but you, Marty, your eyes would just twitch when you looked at that thing.
Well, just because it's like it takes seconds to just and it would have been fixed and I'm like
but it like mangled the comics because he never put backboards in with them. They were always in a bag and they were just like folded into like half like a sandwich and you're like
spines, I mean, just being destroyed.
Even if you wanted it, you'd be like, do I want one that's been folded in half that looks like my 3-year-old ate it?
Well, at that point, they were all $1.50, so yeah, you couldn't go wrong.
True. Yeah, you're like, should I? Should I not?
Hang up my hat.
Hi. I mentioned when we were chatting online that I used to live above 38 degrees, which was the building beside Dixon's book. So yeah. I would just open the door, walk downstairs, turn around, go right in there Wednesdays and be like, hey. And I'd be like, are there any books for me? I was wearing clothes.
That's good. Yeah, clothes are good. Yeah.
For probably a year, my pull list only consisted of Marvel previews. So it was my $1.25 plus tax. And he'd be like, is there anything else? And I'm like, well, let me take, I sit there looking through it. I'm like, there's nothing. Where's cable? And there's like, there's no cable. I'm like, I know there is no cable.
This is like the anti version of the show that we did in 2016. In 2016, we just talked about all our good memories, how much we loved it. And now we're just talking about all the crazy bullshit that we went through at the end.
I feel like all the comic book series that I ever purchased last like 12, 13 issues, and then they're done.
You know what? Actually, Dixon's was the reason that I stopped collecting comics, if you can believe that, for a while. Exactly. So what happened was, is Another World was my comic shop. I co-op there.
I don't remember that place.
I'd been there since, like, it was Big League. So I went there all the time. And when Ted Grace, shut it down.
That's how I met you.
I know.
Just in case. Just in case you didn't get that.
No, I didn't forget, no. Ted shut it down... You know, and then it was at like Hatton's Fun House for a while, and then it moved down to the train station or the train toy hobby shop. It was in there, and then so when Ted finally is like, you know what, this is stupid, I'm just closing it down. I went to Dixon's and I was like, okay, so my comic shop just closed, and he was offering like a discount on the books if you had like so many titles. I said, do you guys offer anything similar to that for a big pull list? Because, like, I was spending, like, $250 bucks a month, like, buying stupid Marvel books that are worthless, right? And so he's like, no, we don't do anything like that. And I'm like, all right, we'll see you later, man. And I never bought another comic book from a comic book shop until, like, Jeff's. When they moved downtown, you know, when they closed Eyeballs, actually I went into Eyeball Soup, but I didn't have a pull list there. I just went through all their back bins. Mm. But it wasn't until like I went into Jeff's one time and I started a pull list. But like, so there was almost 10 years I didn't collect comics because they wouldn't offer a discount.
Remember that weird comic shop and I say comic in like, I can't do two of those because I'm holding my phone with one of them. Comic shop downtown. It was called the Comics Shed.
The Comic Shed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Comic Shed.
I went in there. You went in.
They sold stuff like bird feeders and bird houses.
Yeah, like
swords.
Predator masks.
A lot of swords.
They had like weird masks on the wall and stuff too.
Yeah,
a lot of swords.
They had bird. What's the cuckoo clocks?
Yeah.
No, I was at Ted's for a long time because I can't remember. Sam might remember, but I think I was third customer to set up a pull list at.
I wasn't working there then, and I wasn't
at Ted's. I wasn't the first. That much I know for sure.
Yeah.
But I was pretty close to the beginning, and It just seemed like a different atmosphere, like it was indeed actually a comic book
It was,
store.
And Ted knew a little bit about comics too, yeah. Right? Like he actually enjoyed them, and you could talk to him, and I enjoyed going there, and you know, he always had cool stuff, and like he had a 40-cent bin, you know, like when you could buy like whatever you wanted, it was in there. It was 40 cents. It was like if it had a green label and it was highlighted, it was 40 cents. Like
I remember when I discovered Ted, it was like when in Peterborough we had certain comic shops or things that like, we had Dixon's. DeBuy's tried to get into the comic scene for a while there, and I remember I'd go visit my aunts in Toronto and go to the Silver Snail or the Hairy Tarantula or whatever, and it was like, whoa, like it was like a whole different experience, right? So when Ted opened Big League and then Another World, it was like
it was literally like we had a Toronto comic shop for the first time in Peterborough.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was doing what Toronto comic shops did. We had nothing.
I remember my first comic that I bought from there, which was a 4-pack miniseries of Gambit, and it was shrink wrapped inside of a box. Mm-hmm. And that was my first comic that I bought from there. My dad was like, "Are you sure you want to open this?" I'm like, "Yeah." I don't know where they are now. they got Adam, destroyed and recycled.
Adam, was I nice to you?
were you there at that time?
Probably.
Well, I remember some of the best comic book experience, like comic shop experiences I had was, you know, I had no problem chatting with Art a little bit here and there, and he actually showed me quite a few things when I was young about, you know, silly life lessons about how to carry your money so that you don't have like all the big bills on the outside, like really, really obscure things like that. But when it came to actual comic book conversations, those only happened at Ted's. Those only happened I think he's mentioned the shop was originally called Big Leap Comics and Cars before it turned into another one. I would, on my lunch hour, because I used to work at the Peterborough Square, go up there and end up spending 45 minutes shooting the poop with Sam all about Silver Age Green Lantern. Yeah. And then getting in trouble when I got back because I took
No, you know why the
store... And that just never happened at any other store.
You know why the store
ever.
Was called Big League and why it originally was a card shop? Well, cards were big at the time, but Ted, and to this day, he still does. He collects non-sports cards. That's his actual hobby. Mm.
Well, I do remember when he opened up the shop, he had like his Wayne Gretzky rookie card in the display counter, his Bobby Orr card. So he had some hockey cards too that he was trying to sell. And I'm 99% sure, I'm sure you can confirm that the first initial batch of back issues there was his comic book collection.
Yeah, a lot of them were. And last time I visited with Ted, which was quite a while ago, he was still into the non-sports cards, pretty heavy. And but he was collecting sets from the 60s and 50s.
You know,
and he has
some cool stuff. I haven't talked to him in years.
And
he popped into my shop when we were on Schmung a couple of times with his computer for fixing. So it was really nice to reach out to chat with him for a bit and stuff like that. Yeah. So it was nice. It was nice. But I honestly That's how I learned. That's how me and Sam, really knew each other.
Yeah.
We had bumped into each other and tripped over each other's gym bags for probably 15 years earlier than that. Every
that's
Friday.
Right. Six. No, exactly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until then that it was like actual conversation.
When I worked at Another World, I had my favorite customers and I had my not so favorite customers. I have some pretty.
So you mean you knew like three people and then everybody else. Because I feel like everybody else was not your favorite.
No. I liked a lot of people. There was a lot of people I really liked, but we had certain guys that I just couldn't deal with. And I remember I think the worst thing I ever did. Oh, I physically threw a mentally challenged person out of the store once. Where I actually grabbed him and threw him out.
Wasn't Dave, was it?
What?
I am so glad you used the term mentally challenged. I did. People have been calling me way worse. Well, I appreciate that you called me mentally challenged, Sam. That was very nice of you.
I think my most horrible story, can I tell my worst comic book guy story I ever did? It was right when Phantom Menace came out. And we were one of the – we got right into all the first wave of new Star Wars figures, right? The Phantom Menace figures, we had all of them, and we had a hard time selling them because you could buy them at, Zellers for, so much cheaper than we could sell them. One time, a bunch of kids came in, and they were young kids. They were probably grade 8, 9, and they were looking at all the new Star Wars figures, and there was, five or six of them. And they were like, I don't even know any Phantom Menace characters because I've never actually seen the movie and I don't know what it is. And I actually don't think it exists. It's actually something I don't know about. But anyway, so there's these kids and they're talking about, there's this character, there's that character. And then one kid goes, there's Jar Jar. And all the kids go, Jar Jar sucks, man. Jar Jar sucks.
Well, they knew.
Kids go, And the kid goes, no, no, Jar Jar is cool. And then I kind of thought I was being funny, but I looked up and I'm like, hey, who said Jar Jar is cool? And the one kid looked at me and I'm like, go stand outside of the store and wait for your friends. And he's like, what? I'm like, go stand outside of the store until your friends are done. And I thought I was being funny, but the kid just kind of sheepishly like walks, does that big long walk of shame past the counter and goes and stands outside. And by that time I felt so bad and everything was so tense, I didn't know how to tell him I was just kidding, so I let him stand out there.
That's like my favorite thing, is just to mess around with the customers and mess with them. I had one kid with a group of friends, and the kid somehow tripped on the rack. Yeah. And I said, that's why you don't drink. And they're like, oh, he said you were drunk. I'm like, no, I was talking about his mom when she was pregnant with him. And they all said, oh. They all loved it.
Oh. Adam and the carving. Nice.
Oh, man, you're like 10 times more crueler than I ever was.
And my assistant manager's like, you can't say that. And I'm like, they know I'm joking.
That's too late. I already did.
We used to have this one guy, and I don't want to say what his name is, but I still remember his name. I have not seen him since the store shut down. But if he came in, okay, if he ordered something on his pull list, we could sell it to him, and he could go away. But he was not allowed to go to the back of the store because he was really into anime. And this guy was probably in his 50s or 60s. And he's a lot older than any of us was. And Ted caught him back in our little manga section. We didn't have very many manga books, but he caught him there on two occasions jacking off to the manga. So, yeah. So if he was allowed to buy his books and leave, but he was not allowed to actually go back into the store.
That's nasty.
Yeah. And he used to also buy this used to really mess me up enough. There was other stuff he'd buy too. So he bought manga, but he also would buy like certain I really like Betty Page, and I really like Phantom Lady, the old 40s comic Phantom Lady. And he would buy that stuff too. So it'd be like, I'd be putting the comics away and there'd be like some like good girl art thing. It'd be like me and him. And I'd be like, what does that say about me as a human being? You know what I mean? Right? Like we're the only two people who want this. It's like, oh man.
It means that once in a while he has good taste.
Adam. Yeah. There you go. Once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while. Sam, I have a question for you.
What's up, bro?
Do you watch Doctor Who?
Only watched maybe the first four episodes of the season, and I lost interest.
Chris and I hate Doctor Who.
Well, it's not that I hate it. I've just never, ever watched it.
But you know what's funny? Is I'm not one of those guys who's going to get all in your face about it. I'm like, well, that's good. That's fine. It's not everybody's thing.
No, there's been episodes where Dan, Martin, other Chris will just a whole episode talk about Doctor Who.
Adam snored. Adam snored.
I did. I snored on it.
Adam was dying. You know what? He was talking and talking. He was just dying. That.
Marty, do you remember sometimes during the early days where you and Dan would be going on about Captain Canuck for the entire hour?
No.
But that's comic related. That's okay.
And
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that at all. And it was funny. They were literally saying the same thing every week. like it was the same thing every week.
Do you know why it sounded like we were saying the same thing every week? Is because whenever somebody starts talking about Captain Canuck around you, Sam, this is what it sounds like. Captain Canuck, rom 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 rom. Captain rom 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 Canuck, rom rom rom.
Doctor
Canuck,
Who.
Rom, 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 rom.
Doctor Who.
So of course it sounds the same. Of course it sounds the same.
And it's one of those reasons it's too bad that we can't all be universal. Like we could all talk about Star Wars. Everybody knows something about Star Wars, or everybody knows about Marvel. But sometimes the more niche you get, I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't make sense.
But it's like that for everything. Everything. There's some stuff that you dig, and stuff that Adam likes that I don't like.
I can't talk Dark Shadows with anybody.
Dan Collins immediately tunes out when we start talking about porn comics.
Oh, shut up.
Actually, it's funny. My girlfriend and I just finished rewatching all of the Twilight movies. Those movies are better than the new Star Wars movies. I rather watch those than that new garbage that's out now.
I mean, they weren't horrible.
Okay, do you guys want to hear a comic book kind of story about me doing something comic-y in lockdown? Sure. And I'm not meaning to interrupt Adam, but you just made me think of this. So we're in lockdown, right? And I'm watching a lot of TV and downloading stuff. So some stuff works with me and some stuff doesn't work with me. Well, I see online that somebody says that the new Stargirl TV series had the first four episodes are like online. You can find them, right? And Geoff Johns wrote has an introduction to the series and everything. And I'm a huge Stargirl fan. Like, after Black Canary and Zatanna, Stargirl is, like, my next favorite. So I'm like, holy shit, I got to find these. So I download Stargirl. Great. Well, it ended up being the new Disney Plus movie with Grace VanderWaal.
Okay.
Right? So I'm watching it, and I'm like, this isn't Stargirl. What is this? There's a ukulele, Grace VanderWaal singing. I don't know what's going on. And then by the time I realized that it wasn't the DC Comics Stargirl, I was like actually pretty invested. Right? And not only that, so I was really invested. So I finished watching it. And then I had like the songs all stuck in my head. So I watched it again. So I watched it the second time. And then I went on Facebook and I said I really liked it. I found out it's actually a series of YA novels. So I ordered the box set, and I'm on the second book now. And I'm like, I just want lockdown to end so the soundtrack will come out on vinyl. I want the poster. I want the doll. Anything you can sell me on the Disney, like, friggin' Stargirl with Grace VanderWaal, I am all in, man. This is also what's cool about it is that sometimes, you know that thing where, like, people think you're into something and they buy you the wrong thing? Like, my favorite movie is Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, but people are always buying me Valley of the Dolls stuff. Or
the Roger Ebert movie?
Yeah. Okay. I really like Betty Page, but family members keep buying me Betty Boop stuff. They don't quite got it right. With Stargirl, it's great because it doesn't matter if you buy me the DC one or the Disney one. I'm going to want it.
I saw the actress from Stargirl on Fat Man Beyond, which I don't know if Martin watched that yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Not the latest.
Where she talks about how she gave her mom all the episodes. So her mother has them, which she wasn't supposed to give her. So if they're leaked online, I think we know who leaked them.
Have you guys had any weird, you know how like during isolation they've had all these kind of people are talking about like weird nightmares and weird dreams and stuff like that? Have you guys had any weird dreams about collecting?
No.
Not about collecting.
I have. I had a really weird dream about collecting the other night, like a crazy anxiety dream that I was at like some kind of, I know where we were. Marty, do you know, where's that really weird flea market that's all kind of built underground?
That's Dixie Outlet Mall.
Dixie Outlet Mall, right. So
the Dixie Outlet
Mall. So I had a nightmare that we were there and there was all these tables full of books and crap and just weird stuff. And I was digging around and I found like an old Nancy Drew book that I'd never seen before. And I was like, oh my God, how do I not have all the original Yellowback Nancy Drew books? And there was all these Nancy Drew books that like, I thought I had them all. And then all of a sudden I realized I did not. And I'm running around freaking out, trying to buy these Nancy Drew books and thinking, God, like now I have to find them. And I had like this terrible nightmare about it.
Well, you do have all of them, right?
I do have all of them, but I had a nightmare that I didn't, and there was ones I had never seen before.
We'll have to swing by that mall when they open things back up, because one thing that they were doing, you know that guy who's got that comic shop in there? You remember the space beside him was, he had a bunch of, like, toys and books and stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently he kind of renovated that, or I might be slightly mistaken, it's the next stall over. But he does a artist alley every flea market.
Really?
So there'll be like different creators from around Ontario. So basically if the person has shown up at one of the David Wildstar's convention,
right,
there's a good chance that, because it's from this area, mm-hmm. right? There's a good chance that they'll be there on a Saturday or a Sunday. Is it Saturday or Sunday that they're open? Whatever day that they're open. So they'll have like a little mini artist alley there. And I've seen pictures on Facebook and stuff. And it's always, you know, sometimes it's just one artist there. Sometimes there's seven artists there.
Wasn't that the place where you you didn't buy the really, really, really rare, valuable...
Micronaut?
Yeah.
Son of a gun. Yeah. This is before I knew a lot about Micronauts. Like, I remember the original Micronauts toys, and I played with the original Micronauts toys. And as a matter of fact, just strangely on my desk, Baron Karza. So he had a bunch of the long story short is when Mego went bankrupt-ish, they took the original molds and stuff, and they created a new series of characters called the Interchangeables.
Mm.
And it was basically the Micronauts, just different colors. So you could get a Baron Karza in gray, and he's, I don't know, I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. Count Mephisto or something. Like, he's got a different name, but it's the exact same action figure, but he's in light gray. Well, this guy had in box the gray pseudo Baron Karza, but all the buttons and stuff weren't red. They were black. And I was always like, I don't know what this is. This seems kind of weird and strange, unusual. And it's old store stock. So he had two or three of them, and then Force Commander, the alternative version of Force Commander. He had one or two of them. They're like $50 each. And I was like, you know, I'm trying to behave. I'm not trying to buy stuff. I'm trying to behave. I shouldn't buy it. And I didn't buy it. And then I just like weeks and weeks, I'm like, I got to get back there and get it. I got to get back there and get it. I should get back there and get it. A couple of months go by. And all of a sudden on one of the Mego Facebook groups, the guys go, hey, look what I found. This is weird. Like, what is this? I bought it at a local flea market. And immediately I recognized where he was. And it turns out that these things are $400 US a piece because they're hard to find. And he gets told that. And immediately, there's no doubt in my mind, he immediately dropped his laptop computer, ran back to the flea market and bought the rest of them, because when I went there the next weekend.
Yeah, we were in the car the next weekend going to look for them.
They're all gone. All gone. All gone.
Yeah.
You know, the comic shop guy didn't know what he had because it was just old stock that he had from his old store when he closed his old store and he was just selling it. Mm. And this guy just bought it all, and I'm just like, oh, gosh.
That sucks, man.
If I had known right then and there at $50 a piece, I would have bought them all. I would have done the exact same thing. So I don't blame the guy.
We all have those stories. One time we were at the barn and I was looking at this Gary Anderson's UFO lunchbox. I really wanted it. And I didn't have the money. Marty was like, you know what? I'll lend you the money. You can get it. I'll lend you the money. And I'm like, no, you know, I don't want you to lend me money because then I'm going to owe you money. I don't want to owe you money, and I'll just wait till it's next week and whatever.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, 2 days later, Brian from Plaid Stallions goes there, and he's a huge Gary Anderson fan, and he bought it. And
his Instagram post was epic because he's like, you know, went fleeing and found this golden treasure or something like
and
that.
It was like, and you know what? He just featured it on one of his Pod Stallion videos. Yeah. And I'm and every time I see it, I'm so angry, you know, like I'm so angry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I should have just let Marty lend me the money and then paid him back next paycheck. But I was trying to be good.
That's just like buying comics. I mean, how many people are sitting there with a whole comic book long box of Youngblood number 2 going, please somebody announce a movie. Please announce a movie. I want something to do with this 5-cent comic book. Please announce a movie. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I think I saw on Facebook, $100 for a copy of Youngblood number 2 right now. Somebody sold a Youngblood number 2 because it's the first introduction of Prophet.
Oh.
And the guy... What's the name of the guy that does the green, the DC comic stuff? Mark Googleyham?
No, I did see that actually.
Yeah, he's in talks to start a Prophet TV show or a movie or something. So all of a sudden, interest in the book just skyrocketed. Yeah.
See, and the Prophet series isn't even good until Brandon Graham did the reboot of it. That's the good Prophet series. Do we know which is it going to be? Liefeld's Prophet they're doing?
I have no idea.
Okay, because his is just it's Captain America, where the Brandon Graham's Prophet is. Prophet, there's like clones of him all scattered out through the galaxy, so it's basically like in case of emergency break glass, and here comes Prophet in that area, so there's like multiple versions of him everywhere. Well, not versions, just like duplicates of them.
So on Newsrama it says that former Arrow showrunner Mark Guggenheim has signed on to write Studio 8's planned Prophet film based on the character created by Rob Liefeld. So the studio is hoping to build a franchise around Liefeld's Rip Van Winkle meets Captain America character who debuted in Image Comics number 2. But, I mean, it's just the beginning of an announcement, right? So, gosh, only
I have one.
You know, what it is. I do, too. I went looking, and apparently I still own my original copies of Youngblood 1 through
5. I only have 1 and 2. Those are the only 2 issues I've got.
I've got 1 and 2. I'd say that I stuck with Rob Liefeld for a year, but we both know that issues 1 through 10 took 4 years.
No. Yeah. Liefeld's awesome.
Now there's still copies on eBay selling for like $1.79 like this. But I'm seeing prices like $22, $25. I don't know. I haven't done sold listings here, but yeah, it's going
to
be a bit crazy.
And that's one that if you go to the warehouse, there's going to be like a stack of 50 of them just sitting there.
Yeah, but you got to get in there like as soon as they open the door because like it's going to be lined up because people know that it's in there for a buck. And, you know, it's a quick – that's a good percentage margin to flip them. If you buy them for a buck and can sell them for 20, I mean –
Well, you know the guys at Guardian, they're not stupid. They're probably going to go and grab them out of there.
Yeah.
Oh, they have no idea where they are, do they?
No, but they'll probably hire some kid to go through the whole stack of books. And I'll give you $1 for everyone that you find. And the kid's like, okay. Oh, well.
Not even dollars. He'll pay him in chocolate bars.
Sam.
Yeah?
Since you're here on the radio show, you have to provide us with a Luann update.
Well, you guys don't know what's going on?
No, nobody knows what's going on. Ever since you left the radio show, nobody knows what's going on with Luann. Our listenership needs to know.
All right, so.
What's going on with Luann?
Gunther and his new girlfriend, whose name I can't remember, they've been having problems because she's so addicted to social media, and Gunther, who actually really likes things to be more private, he is very uncomfortable being on Instagram and TikTok all the time. So they're having kind of problems. Meanwhile, Bernice has decided she doesn't like Gunther's girlfriend too much. But the big news, you guys are ready for the big news, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Prue has left the comic strip, at least temporary. Obviously, as a comic, most people could come back. But Prue has left the comic strip. She's moved out of the spare bedroom and quit her job at the Fuse because she's going to New York City to get married to her lesbian girlfriend who nobody had ever heard of in the comic strip before. And now all of a sudden they have like a room empty at the house and they needed to get replace Prue's job as the bartender at the Fuse. So Luann's mom decided to go back to work, and she is now the new bartender at the Fuse, but she's trying to be the mom to everybody because Tiffany is failing out of school, and Luann's mom is now trying to figure out if she should comfort Tiffany or not. Now, meanwhile, Jack and Luann's relationship seems to kind of be building. While Jack was like kind of like a dark horse early on, we didn't know if we really liked Jack. The comic strip has been making him more likable and kind of sweet. Are they? Aren't they? We still don't know. Does Luann even want it? None of us really know. Personally, I want Luann and Jack to get together. But if you asked me this a year ago, I would have said, no. Like, Luann, you can do better. Run for the hills. But they both have an interest in dogs. She made him dinner, and he had dinner with her dad the other night. It was pretty sweet.
That's funny.
So remember, Luann, go comics.com. What's going to happen next? I don't know. Do you guys know?
No idea. No idea.
All right. Well, that wasn't as good as it usually is it? But anyways, that's what's going on in the land.
I want to go comic book shopping so bad, Martin.
Yes. I mean, we need a safari. We need to go hunting in basements. Amen. We got
go digging in bins. Like, yeah.
Digging in bins.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like, we're making a pact here now, right? Like, when this fiasco all ends, Sunday brunch at the casino, at the all-you-can-eat buffet, and a trip to...
Everywhere.
Kitchener Warehouse of Love and stopping everywhere along the way.
You know what? I'm totally in.
There you
go. I'm just coming to hang out with you guys, though.
If we get enough people, I've got a van. We'll just pack that minivan right full of people, and away we go.
Well, now hold on here. Before we invite too many people, we need room for the comics that we're bringing back.
You could put like 10 long boxes in the back. You know, we're
good. All right, good. Okay. Yeah. All right, kids. I think that's it for
this
week.
So much fun, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming, Sam.
It's been awesome, Sam. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. I've had so much fun. Yeah, I love you guys.
There you go.
I really do.
Don't be shy.
We missed
you. Just because you don't read a lot of comics, when you read that Zatanna, come back, tell us all about
Sounds
it
great.
And stuff.
Sounds great. If it ever arrives. it probably ended up in Georgia somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say we'll be back next week again, but gosh only knows. I mean, it's Thursbury the 37th of Maverick. I don't know when we'll be back again, but we'll try. All right. Have a good night, all everyone.
Right. Bye.
Good night.
Stay at home.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?